First reading is taken from 2 Samuel chapter 7, reading from verse 1 to 17. It can be found on page 310 in the Pew Bible. After the king was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am, living in a palace of cedar, while the ark of God remains in a tent." Nathan replied to the king, "Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you." That night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says, are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture and from the following the flock to be ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you've gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men of the earth. And I will provide a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people shall not oppress them anymore, as they did at the beginning and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with the rod of men, the floggings inflicted by men. But my love will never be taken away from him, as I did take it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." Nathan reported to David all the words of his entire revelation. Next reading is taken from Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 7, and can be found on page 1128. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ our Lord, through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you're all among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
to you, and my name's Jeremy, and I'm here to talk to you about the Bible reading that we've just heard this morning. And we're thinking about where do we find love this Christmas. But before we turn to our Bible reading, let's just ask God to help us to understand his word. Heavenly Father, we really do pray this morning for your Holy Spirit to help us to read your word and to be able to understand it. May he help us to apply it to our lives, that we might turn to you and see your love for us. Amen. It might be useful if we could just keep our Bible open in front of us on our reading from the Romans on page 1128, although we will have the kind of the some of the words on the screen for us. But we're thinking about Romans. This is the opening verses of Romans, and then just after Christmas, we're also going to be thinking about the next chunk of Romans. But it was John Lennon who said to us, "All you need is love." Don't know how many of you can remember that famous song from the Beatles, "All you need is love." And I think it's a universal feeling we all have that binds all of humanity together. But where we find that love is another matter. And it's one thing that John Lennon didn't really address. He talked a lot about it, but didn't actually say where we find love. So the question this morning is, where can I find love this Christmas? Is very much a real one for many. And often Christmas exacerbates or worsens our feeling for the need of love. Maybe we're aware that a loved one has died, or friends seem a long way away, and we feel loneliness a bit more deeply. National statistics show that about 34% of young people feel lonely at least some of the time. That's just over a third. Our need for love is very real. And it's a good question to ask. And to ask us, where does this love come from that we all want? Well, our reading today from Romans has something to say to us, and it will help us to find love this Christmas or any other point throughout the year. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Romans. Paul didn't actually know the Romans at this point. He'd never met them. And so he's setting out what is really important about the gospel. Paul didn't want to come across as some wacky person, but he wanted to come over as an authentic apostle, somebody who could teach them accurately about the gospel. And this is what he says in verse 1. He says, "Look, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. I'm called to be an apostle. That is somebody who brings good news. And I'm set apart for the gospel of God." In other words, he is a messenger of bringing good news. And in this case, to the Christian believers at Rome. And then he has a few more words to say, which we'll come back to in a minute. And then he goes on to say that he's writing to the people in Rome, and he's saying to all in Rome who are loved by God and are called to be his saints. So what Paul is saying to the Roman believers is, you are loved by God. God loves you. He is saying to them that they're not just loved by anybody, but by God himself. And I wonder this morning if that idea of being loved by God is something that appeals to you. It's something that warms the cockles of your heart, so to speak. It might be an idea that we resist. How can God love me? I've done wrong stuff. I'm useless. I don't want to be a bother to anybody. I haven't got time to think about God's love anyway. Or maybe I'm just a little me. And what happens if God loves me? Do I have to love God back? What does that mean for my life? Maybe that's what the Romans thought in their brutal world of Rome, where death was a spectator sport. And life expectancy, once you survived childbirth, was about 35 to 40 years. Paul had every good reason to say to the believers in Rome, "You are loved." And these opening verses of his letter show us why. But how does this help us in the 21st century? Looking at what Paul says might help us to understand where we can find love this Christmas. If the people of Rome could feel loved in their grimy, horrible, slave-driven, brutal world of Rome, surely too we can find hope and love. What Paul tells us readers is important to us. Paul is saying there is good news. And remember, it's similar to the angels who announced the Christmas story. This is what they said. "Do not be afraid. I bring good news of great joy that will be for all people." That includes us. "Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." And no doubt over Christmas, we will be hearing those words again, maybe in our readings and in our carols. Paul, in writing to the Romans, is repeating this message. There is good news that is for everyone. And where do we find that good news? We find it in Jesus Christ. So Paul, in his opening verse, in these opening verses of his letter to Romans, has three distinct things to say to us. And these things help us to understand God's love for you and me, and where we might find love this Christmas. Let's have a look at one of these verses. So, in verse 2, we see this. He says this: "The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures." We can see that in verse 2. The good news is revealed to us throughout the Bible from the very beginning. We've already thought about this morning when Becky talked to the children and us. Hope you were listening. She told us about how Adam and Eve rebelled against God. Remember that? "Shove off, God. I'm in charge. No to your rule." And when we did that, we find that that was when God promised a Saviour. God said to Eve, "An offspring, you would have an offspring who would crush the head of evil." In other words, from Eve, your descendants, will come somebody who will be a rescuer, who will be a Saviour. What God was doing, after firstly covering up their embarrassment of nakedness, was that he promised a rescuer from evil. Somebody would come. No sooner had mankind rebelled against God than God set in plan a rescuer that would come. If it was me, I might deliberate this, wait for a while, think about it, ask a few people, what do they think, go on a holiday, have a bit more thought about it. But what we read is that God, straight away, promised a Saviour. And our second reading from 2 Samuel is about King David wanting to build a permanent temple for God. But God, through the prophet Nathan, tells him, "Look, don't worry about building me a temple, for others can do this. But what is important is that through you, David, I will establish a new kingdom. And this new kingdom will last forever." In other words, he was pointing to this Saviour who would come. So we see the Saviour was promised back in the beginning of the Bible, after God spoke to Eve, after the people who rebelled against God. He speaks through David, saying, look, somebody's going to come. And God speaks again through other prophets in the Bible, like Isaiah and Moses and Ezekiel. He was saying there was a prophet coming, and there was established an everlasting kingdom. And God kept reminding people about this in the Bible. This is what Paul means when he says Jesus was promised beforehand. This wasn't something invented like a Dyson cleaner or the latest TV game show. This wasn't made up by Paul or anybody else. This was God's plan to rescue us from our sin, the things that we had done wrong. Craig opened our service with a confession, and it kind of reminded us of how we go wrong in our lives, those things we do against God and each other. We need a rescuer. We need a saviour. And what Paul is saying here is that one was promised long ago in the Bible. It's not something that was made up by Paul. Now, in my house, I've actually got two pianos. The thing is, I already had one. But my mum had one as well in her family home. And when she died, we had to kind of clear out the house. And I was told, that piano of mum's, that's yours. Hey, I've already got one. No, that piano is yours. That was promised to you. Yeah, but does anybody else want this piano? I've already got one. No, it was promised, it's yours. I don't need one. No, it's promised, it's yours. And so I had to go over my car. Unfortunately, it did fit into it, it's a big car. And we'll bring this piano back. And I've now got two pianos. The point is, that piano was promised to me. My family knew it. And even though I said to them, I don't need it, it's promised for you. You're having it. It was promised long ago in the family. And so it was in the story of Jesus in the Bible. Jesus was promised back through the ages. It wasn't something that was made up. I didn't want that extra piano, but you're getting it. Jesus wasn't a made-up religious idea that was cool and catchy in the Roman world. Jesus was promised by God himself as our Saviour. So how does this show love to us? Well, let's think about how our society responds to those who hurt us, hurt them, or diss us. We live in our woke culture where things are, if somebody disses us or we don't like them or like what they say, we tend to cancel them out. That's the phrase we use, cancel culture. We take them off our friends list. We make clear we dislike them. We ridicule them in public. We put messages on our Facebook and our Instagrams and all this kind of stuff. So you will not do business with them. How wonderful it is that God is not driven by woke or wants to cancel us. Another of the apostles, John, said this, God is love. It's not in God's nature to cancel us. He made us. He loves us. And when we are in trouble by rebelling against him, he was there to save us, to promise a saviour, to tell us about it in the Bible. And in the fullness of time, as one of the cows put it, Jesus was born into our world. Secondly, Paul tells us that Jesus was a descendant of David. It says this, regarding his son, who as to his earthly nature was a descendant of David. Now, we've already heard a little bit about David this morning. And what this is telling us is that Jesus is basically one of us, a human being. Now, this is a mystery for us. How can God, who made all of heaven and earth, become like one of us? Yes, in God's plan for a rescuer for humanity, we see that Jesus, described here as his son, became a human being descended from David. We saw that earlier on in the service, that long list of people from David through to Jesus. See, Jesus was not some kind of superhero, but he was one of us. He suffered pain. He suffered rejection. He suffered violence and death. What it means is that we can never turn to God and say, God, you don't know what it's like. You don't know what I have to put up with. Jesus, being a human, experienced all the horrible things that we have to put up with. Some while ago, I heard about a zoologist who studied ants. And he had a big, massive tank where he could watch and study them. But one thing he noticed, that they always went the same way. You know how ants kind of form trails and go backwards and forwards. And he noticed that they went the wrong way to get their food. And so he tried to put some trails down to direct them to the proper, shorter route. He put some obstacles in their way, but ants being ants, they just climbed over them. No matter what he did, he failed. He couldn't get the ants to go direct to the food. He said to himself, in exasperation, if only I could become an ant and show them the way. If only I could become an ant and show them the way. And that's what Jesus did. He became like an ant, to think and live like us humans and talk in human language and actions and show us the way. Would you want to become an ant? Sometimes they feel quite cool and groovy, don't they? But actually, no, I don't want to become an ant. But Jesus did. God's love for you meant that Jesus became a descendant of David, a human being for you and me. He left the security of heaven, became like one of us. And that was despite knowing that mankind would reject and humiliate him. The good news is about the love of God driving him to become like us, to come to earth, to be our Saviour, to be like us. The thing that Paul tells us about this gospel is that Jesus rose again from the dead. He says this in verse 4. He says that Jesus, who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And this is telling us that Jesus came into our world to be a human. He was crucified. But after being crucified and dying on the cross, he came back to life. The resurrection shows that Jesus was not a fake because he died and was buried, and he came back to life, being resurrected by the Spirit of God. This is what Paul is saying to us. He had the power, Jesus had the power to overcome death, showing us that his message is true. No one has ever come back over and been able to overcome death. The whole message of the good news is that Jesus Christ is real and powerful and true. You know, if Jesus was not resurrected, he would have passed into obscurity. some kind of good teacher if anybody had bothered to mention about it. But Jesus didn't. He came back to life. How does this show God's love to us? A powerful act, yes. Putin looks powerful. The nations look powerful. But are they loving? Well, let's put it like this. If I was Jesus and I was resurrected, remember that third day? This is what I would do. Maybe you might do something similar. You know what? I'd get up, have a good stretch. Right, I'm off to see Pilate. I'm going to tell him that he can't kill me. And so I'd bash my way into Pilate's residence and say, here I am, I'm the boss now. You can go back to Rome. And if you want to know what truth is, I'm the truth because I've come back to life. And then I'll go and see the high priest. They're the guys who put me on the cross. So off we go to see the high priest. Disciples, come on, catch up with me. We've got a busy morning. And I get to the high priest. Here I am. You can't put me to death because I'm here and I've come back to life. And I'm in charge of the religiosity of Israel now. You can clear off. And then I might have an American election-style rally so everybody could see me say, you're the boss, waving their placards. What actually happened? You know, Jesus' first conversation was not at a big rally. It was not with Pilate. It wasn't with the chief priests. It was with his friend, Mary. That was his first conversation after coming back to life. He used her name, Mary, why are you crying? He then met with Cleopas and his friends returning home to Emmaus from Jerusalem. They were distraught that Jesus has died. So Jesus spoke to his friends, explained to them from the Bible all these things that we've been talking about in the past. Maybe he talked about that promise to David and Ezekiel and Isaiah. Maybe he told them about Adam and Eve. And then he went to see the disciples who were terrified in the upper room. Don't be afraid. Have peace. This was the resurrected Jesus acting in love. Not what we would have done. See, the resurrection was a show of power, but it was also a show of love. The resurrection is a personal experience. It's something for us to see personally. I'm not sure that Jesus ever did see Pilate or the chief priests. He revealed himself to his friends. This is the action of a loving, resurrected Saviour. His love is shown to us in the way he revealed to us in his friends and followers, and indeed to Paul himself on the road to Damascus. Jesus reveals himself to us in love, but he also has that power to change us. Paul, having set about the good news of the Jesus who was promised, the Jesus who is a human like us, and the Jesus, I missed the slide here, and the Jesus who is a resurrected personal saviour, he then invites those readers, invites those Romans to believe on him. This is what he says in verses 5 and 6. Through him and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from amongst all the Gentiles. The Gentiles includes us, by the way. We are called to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Having explained the gospel, that Jesus was promised of God, that Jesus is one of us, that Jesus came back to life and is true and is real, that he loves us. All this gospel was based in love. He invites us to follow him. And this is how we find love, by responding like the Romans believers had to God's plan of love, of promising a rescuer through the Bible. And this morning he invites us to follow him, that we might experience the personal resurrection knowledge of Jesus. I just want to finish with this. This was included in our prayers, of course. We've heard the tragedy of 4 children losing their lives in icy cold waters at Babs Mill Park in the West Midlands. And it emerged that when they fell in, a 13-year-old girl called Olivia was passing by, and she could see what was happening, and she tried to get some branches to pass to those children so they could pull themselves out. This is what she said: "I was willing to give up anything just at least to save one of them. I was willing to give up anything just at least to save one of them." I think this is what God must have felt like when we turned our back on him. "I will do anything to save one of them." And so the good news is that Jesus came into our world to be our Saviour. He was talked about in the Old Testament. And in case we think he's not powerful enough, he came back to life. And he offers that life of resurrection to us. The story of the gospel is a story of God's love to us. And if you want to find true love, we find love in Jesus Christ. We find love in looking to the gospel story. And we find love by following Jesus Christ in our world today. So may this Christmas, may we discover more of God's love for us. May we be wowed for God's love expressed to us in his gift of Jesus Christ. And may we respond to the invitation to follow him. And if we've done that, may we re-encounter God's love for us day by day. Let me close in a short prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus. And may we, like the Roman church, the Roman believers, and by Paul himself, follow him. And may we know the love of Jesus day by day in our daily lives. Amen.